You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Somehow we made it to a Friday. My new best friend, Todd Fritz, here with me in the man cave. Traeger grills are fired up. Still snow on the ground. Espresso, coriander, rubbed beef tenderloin, balsamic Brussels sprouts with bacon, maple bacon pull-aparts, and baked bacon bourbon caramel popcorn. All of that for just Todd and me.
It's just a good time.
Yes, it is. But welcome to this Friday show, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Coming up, we'll talk to Jesse Palmer from the Mothership as we look at the busy weekend in college football. Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports, will join us. He says somebody from Ohio State's receiving corps has tested positive and an assistant coach has tested positive, but that game is still on against Northwestern. Bill Plaschke for the LA Times around the horn. We'll talk all things Los Angeles, including USC football. Is Jerry West in trouble with the NBA as they investigate whether or not there was a payoff of helping deliver Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers? So we'll have Plaschke, who will join us coming up a little bit later on. Your phone calls are always welcome. We say good morning to our radio and TV partners. Chargers, they beat the Raiders in overtime as Derek Carr out with a groin injury. And who remembered that Marcus Mariota was with the Raiders? And that seems like they paid a lot for him, but seems like a pretty good signing. Bring him in. He played well last night. So you had two former Ducks in there, Justin Herbert, who played extremely well once again. Your college football weekend, Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, Florida, Louisiana, Coastal Carolina has been canceled due to COVID. Wow. Yeah.
Come on.
I know. Oregon, USC is tonight. Northwestern, Ohio State. That's a noon start Saturday. Oklahoma and Iowa State. James Harden trade teams expanding. Although Paulie said, Paulie saw it on the bottom line, the crawl on ESPN. It said Harden and then expanding. And we thought that was a little insensitive by ESPN to say Harden's expanding.
I couldn't believe someone would post that. I was watching out of the corner of my eyes. I see Harden expanding. I'm like, that's cold blooded. It's supposed to be a news scroll.
Yeah, that's mean. But Harden expanding his trade, his teams that he could be traded for.
Harden. I'm pretty mean. I wouldn't post that.
Harden expanding. Wow.
Whoa.
That's mean-spirited by the mothership there. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Our Twitter handle at DP Show. We say good morning to Fox Sports Radio, the formidable lineup there, all of our great affiliates. And you can watch on Peacock all 3 hours of this program. If you don't have the app, do it, download it, and you can watch for free. Get ready for... You're not going to be an armchair quarterback this weekend. You're going to be the armchair ophthalmologist because get ready for the eye test. That's what this weekend's all about, the eye test. Playoff committee will be watching closely to see not only who wins, but how they win. How much do they win by? Or how do they lose? I checked with my college football source and I said, can Notre Dame lose its way out of the Final Four this weekend? And my source said, only a loss greater than Alabama A&M, that margin between A&M and Alabama. That was the first week in October. Alabama beat Texas A&M, who was number 5 in the country at the time, 52-24. My source says that's the only way Notre Dame would drop out of the Final Four if they got blown out by a big score like that. My source said, keep in mind, Notre Dame beat North Carolina by 14. North Carolina annihilated Miami. Plus, they beat Clemson, and hard to erase those. So the only way Notre Dame would drop out is if they get blown out in this game against Clemson. Clemson is favored by a little more than 10 points. But the Irish can lose, still stay in the Final Four. Alabama against Florida, it feels like Alabama, even with the loss, is going to stay in there. Ohio State is in with a win. It wouldn't hurt if they had a convincing win against Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. Everyone else needs help. Iowa State blowing out Oklahoma would be a good start, but not exactly sure what the committee considers with its eye test here. What's A&M able to do against Tennessee that's going to impress the committee? But it feels like we're going to be arguing about this come Sunday when they issue the final rankings with the Final Four. This program brought to you by MasterClass. Masterclass offers over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters. It's so much fun to just go to the website and just see all of the opportunities that are there for you. And when you sign up and get that annual membership, you get all the classes. If you want to learn how to cook, you want to learn how to, you know, play basketball, Steph Curry. You want to learn how to play tennis with Serena Williams. You want to learn comedy from Steve Martin. There's so many different options there. You get the annual membership. You get another annual membership for free, which would be a great Christmas gift. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. Masterclass.com/Patrick. Yes, Paulie.
What if Ohio State on a neutral field has a hard time with Northwestern, kind of like the Indiana game where it comes down to the buzzer? Could Ohio State have a bad showing in a win and somehow not make it? Would that, like, would a bad showing take them out, or is a win a win?
I think a win is a win for them because they haven't budged. They've only played one game since November 21st. And we've seen where other schools haven't played, or maybe they played one game. They've dropped in the standings. It feels like Ohio State is in there with a win. I don't know if A&M can do anything to get in there. Iowa State can do anything to get in there. And they've kept Cincinnati far enough on the outside that, you know, even with a win over Tulsa, they're not going to get in. You know, some of these other schools, USC, like they're just, it feels like the committee is set that this is the Final Four. And if you win, you take care of business, you're in. Ohio State, if Notre Dame loses but doesn't get blown out, they'll stay in. Alabama could still lose, but they're going to stay in. But if Florida wins, you know, that's the interesting part. If Florida beats Alabama, and Alabama's favored by 17, 18 points here, but I don't know if Florida could somehow get in there if they had a really, really impressive game performance. By the way, the over-under, Alabama and Florida, 74.5.
Not a basketball game.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And it could come down to the Heisman is decided between Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, Devontae Smith. See, I looked at Smith and said, if not that Nick Saban's going to do this, but if you feature him the way Michigan did Charles Woodson or Michigan did Desmond Howard, there is a chance. There is a chance Devontae Smith, at worst, would get an invite for the Heisman. But there is a chance, and hopefully people haven't, you know, placed their votes yet. I'm waiting. I'm waiting until all the games are over on Sunday. Got my ballot, but I want to see. Because if he's the difference, or if he has, he'll take kicks back, punts back. Obviously a very good great wide receiver. But it could come down to just the winning quarterback between Alabama and Florida is going to win the Heisman Trophy. Yes, McLovin.
I'm sorry to bring up system quarterback on a Friday, but is the system. I mean, is Devontae Smith even better than the other wide receivers at Alabama over the last 2 years? And is Mac Jones any different than Kyle Trask? It's how you determine which is which.
So now you're on system receivers. You've from quarterbacks to system receivers.
Look at Alabama. Their receivers catch a ball. There's not a defender within 20 yards. They've schemed up something crazy there. I mean, Devontae makes circus catches, but he might not be the best of those four.
Did you do this with LSU? Did you say those were system-wide? Yeah. Oh, you did. I didn't hear that.
You get it. You said, how can you tell Joe Burrow? You said he's going to a worse team the following year in Cincinnati than he did at LSU.
No, I said he has much talent as any quarterback I've seen.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean they had system-wide receivers.
Well, at some point, you can only cover – there were about eight guys on that LSU offense. You had a double team. So the point is, like, everybody helps each other. Same with Alabama.
Devontae Smith is pretty special. I don't know if he's better than Ruggs or Waddle, who got hurt, Jerry Jeudy. I don't know, but these are pretty special wide receivers. I mean, who was the wide receiver after Julio Jones in Alabama? Like, if it was a system, then
– Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley is nowhere near Julio Jones.
It's not a bad answer, Adam.
No, it's
actually
not.
I'm going to walk off. I can't believe I pulled that name out. And I don't even know if he was right after him. It might have been years later.
Yeah, but he's a good wide receiver. But, you know, it's like Alabama running backs. Do you say, well, that's a system. They usually have a really good running back. He's just not a really good running back in the NFL. Although Josh Jacobs is real. You know, I watched the game last night with the Raiders. Man, the Raiders should be good. They got talent. Got a great tight end. Your running back is good. You got receivers. Got a big offensive line. Man, there's something amiss there. And then you have the Chargers. I mean, these were two teams that it was a perfect fit that they would face each other because they find ways to lose game. Like, how are you going to find a way to lose a game? No, we're going to top you. We're going to find another way to lose this game. But the Chargers somehow got the win over the Raiders. And Justin Herbert playing great once again. Here's Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, on Justin Herbert showing growth.
He's doing it with young receivers on the field, spreading the ball, moving, just doing everything that he has to do to keep plays alive and extend plays, you know, and his eyes down the field. Yeah, he has the legs and the athletic ability to run it, but I like it when he gets the ball to our receivers down the field. We work those scramble drills a lot, and that is a really dangerous play because that's a play that the defense can't prepare for, and I thought he handled that really well today.
He did. He looked great. He's far surpassed expectations here. He's thrown for 27 touchdowns, 300 yards again. Like, he's putting himself in a category, just category statistically, with some really, really good quarterbacks, including Andrew Luck. Now, Baker Mayfield has the single-season rookie record at 27. Justin Herbert should pass that. But Terry Bradshaw was gushing about Justin Herbert last night, saying, Marino, Elway, Andrew Luck. And that's heavy stuff to throw in there. I would caution Terry to throw in those names, put them all in a hopper here and go, you're right in there with Elway. Well, Elway wasn't very good as a rookie. Andrew Luck, I believe, was good as a rookie. Dan Marino was pretty good. But you're throwing him in there? I'd wait a little bit because he might have thrown Baker Mayfield in there with 27 touchdowns. We thought, wow, that's a finished product. And we found out that he's not a finished product. Justin Herbert looks good. And the moment, there's no moment that looks too big for him. And that's where I want to see your composure. I want to see when things go bad, what happens? What do? You throw an interception. And then how do you come back from that? By the way, the Raiders got down to first and goal from the 4-yard line. And they got Marcus Mariota in there. And I thought, okay, here is your run-pass option. He's had 88 yards rushing. They have to be aware of him running or passing. You run it twice up the middle, and then you have an incomplete pass. And I went, what are you doing? I want to utilize Marcus Mariota. And I go, what is Gruden doing? And that really summed up the Raiders' season right there. I went, and you get to the goal line. You're 96 yards and kick a field goal. That's who you are this year. And they're a whole lot better. And please don't tell me all the injuries. Tell me a team that doesn't have injuries. I mean, come on. But those two were meant to face each other where we go, all right, who's going to screw up and lose this game? And hopefully do it in dramatic fashion. And then it went to overtime. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be spicy. Yeah, Paul.
I got a 2-part Chargers question.
All right.
It's weird because they won last night, but do you think that the Chargers head coaching job is open a month or so from now? And how attractive is it because of their roster, quarterback, et cetera?
I think the job is open, going to be open. I mean, I don't know the Chargers and you know, hate speculating on a job or somebody's future, but it feels like Anthony Lynn has had his opportunity. The opportunity has passed him by. They have lost in dramatic fashion. But I think it's, first of all, you don't have a passionate fan base. Imagine if this would be Packers, Steelers, you know, throw in any other fan base, the Cowboys. Like, they would be yelling and screaming. They'd be mad. But you know, the Chargers just sort of, you know, it's like a ship in the night. You're like, okay, there they go. All right. But they do have talent. And if I can go in and I got a quarterback who will be in his second year, that rookie contract, you got weapons, You got some defensive players. Yes, I think that's a very, very enticing job there. But, you know, Justin Herbert needs just under 300 yards in his last couple of games to break the single-season rookie record for passing yards. Andrew Luck has that record, but Cam Newton was great. Jameis was great. Carson Wentz. Justin Herbert has a chance to do that and will likely do that. He's had 7 300-yard passing games. That surpasses Andrew Luck for the most by a rookie all time. So 2 weeks left, and he's within range. I mean, he could have statistically the greatest rookie season a quarterback has had in modern history. Yeah, McLovin.
Justin Herbert camp asked, don't mention Carson Wentz in the same sentence with him ever because he wants to be with that Luck Marina. Talk about a guy who looked like he was going to be the next thing. Like, so you don't know.
Well, yeah, there's injuries. You know, obviously with what happened to Carson Wentz has never been scripted before where you go, oh, yeah, you're going to be an MVP. You're going to try to take on two Rams defenders. You're going to have knee surgery and never be the same. By the way, your backup's going to come in and be the hero, and they're going to build a statue of him outside the stadium. Yeah, of course. Just as we expected, just as we scripted it. All right. What's the poll question we're going to go with? And we'll take a break. I got Rick Neuheisel joining us. Neuheisel's the one who tweeted out, Ohio State, one of their wide receivers, has tested positive. I haven't seen anything else. My source said that they have an assistant coach, who I don't want to name right now, who has tested positive as well. I don't know what's happening behind the scenes with Ohio State, but we'll talk to Neuheisel about that with this game against Northwestern. Yes, McLovin.
Oh, just for clicks, can we put up who's most likely to be an NFL MVP someday? Herbert, Tua, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, or Baker Mayfield? You got to put Baker in there.
Why not?
It's Friday.
I'm very lenient on Friday. I'm actually enjoying my conversation with Todd today. We talked quite a bit this morning.
Very odd. It went remarkably well.
The topic was Todd's son has some minor knee surgery coming up this morning. We hope it's minor knee surgery. So I pulled down my pants and showed Todd all
you
of my.
Did do that. I don't know. I wasn't prepared for that.
Well, Todd goes, well, what's the incisions look like? And I go, well, and I got these corduroys on, and I tried to roll out my pants.
I thought you were verbally going to kind of describe. You know,
well, no, I said they're just little marks that they went in with the scope.
I'm not complaining. Hey, but I was expecting it to be more of a conversation, not a show and tell.
So we were talking about knee surgery, and I, of course, am one of the leading experts on knee surgery.
Nice imagery to take it to the weekend. Definitely not complaining.
Yeah, if your wife was here, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have said, well, this is what the incision.
That would have been a little awkward.
Yes, it would have.
Over tenderloin.
But yes, that was my nickname in high school. Tenderloin. Beef tenderloin. I'm joking, Todd.
I know. That wasn't your nickname.
Okay. Want to make sure.
It could have been, but
it could have. Yeah, I discouraged that.
But it was Golden Boy.
It was Golden Boy.
You don't like that.
Yeah. See, that's what I thought Steph Curry instead of Golden Flow or whatever that shoe is, like Golden Boy.
That would have been a lot safer.
Yeah. Golden Flow for a shoe. I still was laughing about that. Steph Curry's new shoe from Under Armour, Golden Flow. You're in.
Just playoffs. Released.
Yeah.
I was going to get my urologist a mug that's a Golden Flow on it, like it's a gag if they have those things. Go to Etsy or something.
So, McLovin, that's the poll question we're going to go with?
Yeah, it took me a second to get Just Released, by the way.
Yes. Just like a All right, let me take a break here. 20 after the hour. Rick Neuheisel stirring it up. We'll talk to him a few things. And is the Auburn job a good job? That's open now. Is it a good job? Some of these other jobs, are we going to see some coaches who are going to leave the current programs to go to some of these other places? And passing the eye test, does USC get to get in on that eye exam? Do they get to pass the test? They're only a 3-point favorite against Oregon. This is one of those we talk up USC, and then all of a sudden Oregon wins. Oregon who comes in, and it's like, Washington can't play. We'll play. We're good. It's like an episode of The Bachelorette. Remember she left early, fell in love, and then they had to bring in a new bachelorette, reportedly?
Look at you. Look at you.
You're all over that. You're a little loose on Friday.
I am. I'm revealing way too much. Way too much.
Drop your pants.
All right. 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Hold on.
Masterclass, I told you about it, but let me tell you a little bit more about it. You get about 20 lessons per class, 10 minutes per lesson. Now, people are under the impression that you have to show up at a certain time and then watch this. It's you do it at your own pace. Lessons available anytime, anywhere. You can watch on your phone, computer, tablet, smart TV. It's supported by downloadable materials. There's workbooks, there's exercises, recipes, depending on what you sign up for. There's over 90 of these classes from world-class instructors. If it's something you always wanted to do, like a hobby, and you go, boy, I'd be interested in doing that. Now's the time. As a DP Show listener, get an annual membership to Masterclass, and then you give one to somebody else for free. What a great gift. And once you start to go through the roster of everybody who's teaching and what they're teaching, you can spend a lot of time there. Every Masterclass for you and a friend right now, go to masterclass.com/Patrick. Masterclass.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get excited. The new original series, Saved by the Bell, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Bayside is back. New students, new stories. Some very familiar faces start streaming now. All right, McLovin, the poll question we're going to go with is...
Okay, which quarterback is most likely to be an NFL MVP? The choices being Justin Herbert, Tua, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, or you got to put him in there, Baker Mayfield.
Okay. So that's the poll question. If you want to dial us up, you can, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Rick Neuheisel caught my attention with a tweet that talked about the Ohio State and one of their wide receivers has tested positive for COVID. No names attached here. I followed up, tried to get the name from my Big Ten source, and then I was told one of their assistant coaches has perhaps tested positive as well. Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports college football analyst, of course, former college coach. All right, let's start with Ohio State. What's going on with the COVID test here?
Well, as all great reporters do, now that I'm on your side of the tracks and the media, I'm just probing. I'm just, trying to get inside information. A friend of mine out in California who's very close to the program gave me that information, didn't give me a name. So I was asking Rick Pizzo yesterday on Sirius XM who it was. He did not give me any names either, but did not say that it was a false rumor. So we'll wait and see. The bigger question, not so much for the Northwestern game, is will it be a Big Ten rule that is a 21-day quarantine, which would, of course, then keep him out of a New Year's Day game should this have happened over the course of this week. So that's what we're trying to divulge.
We're not armchair quarterbacks. We're armchair ophthalmologists this weekend with the eye test here. So can Ohio State win but hurt their chances by barely beating Northwestern? Like, is there a scenario where Ohio State could win and not stay in the Final Four?
I don't believe so. Okay. I think they're the darlings. They were number two in the country without even having played, right? Even when before the games were done, just when the announcement came back that the Big Ten was going to be in the fray starting in late October, Ohio State started getting into the rankings without even having played a game. So I think the Buckeyes are a lock short of losing to Northwestern.
If you were on the committee, and I just said to you privately, what is your philosophy? Could you look at this and go, look, we want the four best matchups. We want TV ratings. We want, powerhouses in here. And whatever way it is, however we do this, this is what we want to do. Like, could that be the philosophy of the playoff committee without them ever telling us that?
From outside looking in, it looks as if it is.
Yeah.
Given the brand recognition. Now, having known a lot of people on that committee and, not questioning their integrity in any way, shape or form, the problem with the committee's directive is they are asked to give us the four best teams. And all of us growing up realized that we want the four most deserving teams, meaning that you've wanted on the field of play. You can't ignore that, you know, let's just use Louisiana. They went to Iowa State and beat them by 17 points. And here they are 12 spots behind with one loss, while Iowa State is up there with two losses. Now, we can all say that on another day, and given the improvement that we've seen with Iowa State, we would probably pick Iowa State to beat Louisiana if they played again. But the bottom line is we saw the game, and the game told us another thing. So ultimately, we've got a group of five that's being locked out of this college football playoff, and we've got some brands, you know, a la the New York Yankees, that the television people are just in love with and want to see continue to play.
I've been railing on this the last couple of days, and I'm sure this audience is tired of hearing me talk about this. So what is equitable for the schools? Like, Cincinnati will never play in the Final Four. Coastal Carolina, BYU, you can run down these schools. They're not going to be in there. They're never going to allow them because they wouldn't be good for TV ratings. So what is the solution that makes sense for all involved here?
Well, I think there's a tweak that has to be done in the regular season, so the committee has more data to make determinations. Obviously, that was not possible this year with COVID. But I think we need to see more crossover games, more home and home games. And, you know, as looking at the schedules as they start to exist 5-10 years down the road, I think we're going to get more of that. But I think that's one piece of it. And then the other piece is that I think we have to go to 8. And maybe sacrifice the conference championship games because those games. We're going to watch
money grabs.
Those are money grabs. I love what happened in the ACC as a one-off this year. Notre Dame's inclusion was a great thing, but the way they went to one league rather than split divisions, the Coastal has never actually gotten to the finish line, right? It's always been the Atlantic. I like one league, get rid of the conference playoff games, and then we can maybe take that weekend and create an 8-team playoff, which always has a group of five representative, which will give more inclusion to the Cincinnati's of the world. And while it's a long shot that they're going to do well and win it, I think we all love Cinderella.
Notre Dame stay in the ACC after
they
this?
Should. Yeah. They should. It'll be an interesting question how they would go about keeping some of those relationships, like with USC and Stanford and such, and a Big Ten rival. But they should. This has been a huge success for them. I don't know what the dollars and cents mean, Dan, in terms of their NBC deal. It's all in the pot right now. But this for Notre Dame football is a huge boon in my mind.
I checked with my college football source, and I said, you know, Notre Dame loses, how much can they lose by and then drop out of the Final Four? And my source said, if it's an A&M loss to Alabama margin, that was 52-24. Could you see a scenario where Clemson blows out Notre Dame, any chance that Notre Dame falls out of the top four?
It would have to be a significant blowout. I don't know that it has to be the Ohio State Wisconsin blowout 59-0 that we saw in 2014, but it would have to be a significant blowout. And given the way Notre Dame has played defensively, I can't imagine that happening. I think short of anything just monumental, the Irish are in.
What else intrigues you about this weekend that we should keep an eye on?
Oh, I think, you know, the Florida game, you know, the fact that Florida only fell one spot.
Why is that? Why is that?
Shocking. Shocking.
But why, I think they were Rick? Just, I mean, I...
Well, they're trying to keep them ahead of Georgia. They beat Georgia, but then the question is, why is Georgia there, right? Two losses. There are teams, like you mentioned, USC before we came back from the break. Now, listen, the Trojans have, in terms of game control, it's their own fault. They have not looked dominant. I can understand where the committee's coming from. But that's a brand that's won 11 national championships. That's a brand that's sitting there, you know, it would move the needle in terms of television sets. And yet they're getting absolutely no consideration.
But if the brand had competed for a national title in the last 3 or 4 years, I think USC would get far more love and they would be higher in the rankings because we would go, hey, you know what? Last year, they went to the Final Four. The previous year, whatever it is, USC has not been relevant in a while. And that's why they don't get the benefit of the eye test.
Nor has the Pac-12. This is they have been to the college football playoff 2 years in seven tries. And that is just where it sits. But that's why we have to expand the playoff, because that will tip the scales back a little bit more evenly for recruiting purposes. It won't change that Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama are still winning the titles, but it will change where all those recruits are going if there are more spots to fill to get to the promised land of the college football playoff.
Is Auburn a good job?
Auburn is a great job from a money standpoint. I mean, holy smokes.
Just ask Gus Malzahn.
Gus is going to get 10.8 here in the next 20 days. You know, that's a good deal, and have 10 more, 8 more coming.
Why not keep him? Like, if I'm if I have to pay you that kind of money, I'm going to keep you. It's like crazy. A divorce. You know, is it cheaper to just stay married?
You live on that side of the house. Exactly. Yeah, this makes no sense. The only guy out there that I believe would make sense is Hugh Freeze. And obviously they're a little bit concerned, you know, that I guess the people inside the program are worried he might bring more review from the NCAA and such. But heck, they hired Bruce Pearl. They hired Bruce Pearl. Yeah. I mean, he was in NCAA purgatory, and they hired him, and it worked out. They went to a Final Four. To me, Hugh Freeze is the answer, because both Gus Malzahn and Nick Saban tried to hire Hugh Freeze to be their coordinator. They know what kind of coach he is.
Usually when the NCAA is looking at you, you've done well. They just question why you've done well. So maybe that would be a positive for Auburn.
Amen. And I think it's also a story this year as to where is the NCAA? I've not seen them be part of this. They didn't have much in the way of answers for eligibility. They didn't have much in the way of answers for what should be the protocol. They left everything up to the individual conferences and commissioners. And it's been a very weird year for that entity in Indianapolis.
No, they're Kaiser Sose. We don't know who they
That's
are.
Perfect.
That is perfect. We have no idea. We know they're there, but we don't know what they look like. I saw this. I don't know if it was a report, to be fair to it. Urban Meyer, UCLA?
No way.
I thought of all people, knowing what you went through.
No way.
And their lack of commitment to their football program, Urban would not do well at UCLA.
Well, they do now have a Buckeye as their athletic director.
Oh, I know.
Martin Jarman is there, and they just signed a huge deal that people aren't realizing is a huge deal with that Jordan brand, the Nike thing that's going now at UCLA. Got out from Under Armour and now have the Nike brand and the Jordan brand along with it. So that is a monster deal for UCLA. But Urban, no way. I think Urban's is either done, comfortable with Fox, or if Brian Kelly takes an NFL job, that would be where he would go.
Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Well, he passed on Notre Dame long time ago.
And I think he wants a do-over. That's just my gut. I haven't talked to Urban. I don't know. But I'm throwing that out there just because I think it's sexy.
Wow. I like that one better than the UCLA rumor. Before I let you go, we're talking to Rick Neuheisel, CBS college football analyst. You normally provide us with a song whenever you're on.
Oh, yes,
on.
I do.
I don't know.
Oh, yes,
the Oh, you got the guitar?
The axe is nearby.
Oh, okay.
It's just a little something, you know.
Okay, what's the topic?
Well, it's Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And we're trying to marry it a little bit with what's going on in college football.
Okay, here we go. Here's Rick Neuheisel.
You know McLovin and Polly and Seton and Fritzy. All of the others are out getting blitzied. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the COVID reindeer wasn't feeling quite himself. And when the doctor saw him, asked if he'd been near the elves, all of the other reindeer now were being contact traced. If they had been with Rudolph, into quarantine they'd be placed. Santa, of course, was quite concerned Christmas might be a bust. So he asked the CFP, that Committee of 13 Learned Individuals, to get opinions he could trust. Santa now felt much better. Losing Christmas isn't really a shame. Heck, he could still be Santa without even playing a game.
It's not quite born in the SEC, which
wait. Just pointing out that you still the great brands are still the great brands.
They are.
That's all. That's it.
They are.
Who's got a better brand than Santa?
Now,
by the way, your set is off. Awesome. That chestnuts roasting on the open fire behind you. Is that Bobby Knight roasting on the open fire behind you?
Bobby Knight's behind me. This is the Lou Holtz doll. That was at Arkansas.
You need to get the Medal of Freedom on there for Lou.
I think they went on probation soon after that was what? What a nice thing.
What a nice thing.
Yeah, thanks for joining us as always. It's great talk to
always
you.
Always a pleasure. Happy holidays
you
to one and all.
Yeah.
And let's finish the season. Congratulations to everybody who got a college season in. This has been phenomenal to enjoy.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Check this out.
Mariota up underneath center, takes a short drop, fires it deep down the left side. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown! Darren Waller, Marcus Mariota takes over for the injured Derek Carr and drives Vegas to the go-ahead touchdown.
Brett Musburger, The Call, Raider Nation Radio's 920 AM. Mariota entered the game second quarter, throwing the touchdown pass, first passing touchdown since September of 2019, also the first game in which two Oregon Ducks threw a touchdown pass in the same NFL game since November 1960, Norm Van Brocklin and George Shaw. According to Field Yates, by simply appearing in at least 60% of the snaps for the Raiders on Thursday night, Mariota earned an additional $200,000 this year. It would have gone to $325,000 if they had won that game in overtime. That's your play of the day brought to you by MasterClass. Take me up on the offer. You get an annual membership, and then you get another annual membership for free. Variety of topics, over 90 classes, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. MasterClass.com/Patrick. MasterClass.com/Patrick. People accuse me of trying to show Derek Carr the door. And let's go back to Oakland. When they were in Oakland going to Vegas, I wondered if they were going to try to make a big splash. Now, I had a source tell me that John Gruden had his eye on a quarterback in the draft and really loved that quarterback. They stayed with Derek Carr, and Derek Carr is a good quarterback and has had a good season here. I'm not quite sure what I'm missing there, because I think he got injured last night. And then I started to wonder, he's due $40 million over the final two seasons of his contract. Okay, now he's 29. The Raiders could cut him next offseason, and they would take only a $2.5 million dead cap hit. I don't know if Marcus Mariota is the answer. I do like Mariota. I think what we saw last night was more indicative of what he was like when he won the Heisman Trophy. A dual threat, put pressure on the defense, arm, legs, and he did not do that, you know, in Tennessee for whatever reason. He just seemed tentative. What I saw last night was maybe what he should have been and maybe can still be. I don't know if that's – let's say the Raiders end the way they do. They're in line to get a high draft pick. And would they invest that in a quarterback? You have Mariota for one more year. You want to keep Derek Carr for 2 more years at $40 million. John Gruden doesn't do well with quarterbacks. You know, John is always in love with the quarterback that he doesn't have. And, you know, maybe he's satisfied with Derek Carr. And but I just wanted to at least look at this as a possibility for the Raiders. Because if you can get a quarterback on a rookie deal, that's what it all comes down to. Every team looks at a 5-year window. I'm going to draft a quarterback. I mean, that's why the Cowboys, if they're on the clock and they have a chance to get a quarterback who can come in and play right now for a team that's built to play and win right now, then would they take a quarterback? The Bengals won't be in the market for a quarterback. The Jags are going to be in the market for a quarterback. The Jets will be in the market for a quarterback. You're looking for that quarterback because once I get that, now I can exhale. You know, the Chargers, I mean, the Chargers found gold here because they can now use money that will eventually go to Justin Herbert. They can spread it around and maybe build themselves a quality team, a playoff team, a potential Super Bowl team. That's what you're looking for. Miami, the same way. Did they find it in Tua? The Bengals are on the clock. They have now 4 more years with Joe Burrow before they're going to have to pay him $150 million or whatever the going rate is right now. Detroit's looking at this. I would try to, if I got a taker on Matthew Stafford, if I'm Atlanta and I'm going to have a high draft pick, you know, Carolina's going to be up there and have an opportunity for a high draft pick. There are quarterbacks that you can sign in the offseason. There are quarterbacks you can draft. I want to draft one. Unless my team is ready to win right now and I bring the quarterback in and it's Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan, like San Francisco. If you said the Niners get Matthew Stafford or they get Matt Ryan, that's an upgrade, a significant upgrade in my opinion, over Jimmy Garoppolo. But these other teams, would the Raiders explore that? You know, have Mariota for 1 more year. Take a quarterback. Let him sit. Let him learn. You know, Zach Wilson at BYU. Trey Lance at North Dakota State. If these guys are legitimate, because I don't know if they are. I'm being told they are, but I don't know that. But I just wondered about that with the Raiders, that you have a team that I think has a young nucleus there. And is Derek Carr the guy that you want as your quarterback there? This in from Adam Schefter. Drew Brees will be the starting quarterback against the Kansas City Chiefs. Saints believe he's fully healthy and doctors have cleared him to play. That's big news. But they believe that he is fully healthy. And so he's been cleared to play against Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, Paulie.
Quickly back to Carr. Would that be, you know, Carr's got good numbers. You know, some of the he's having really good numbers, not big numbers, but good numbers. Is it almost like what Kansas City did a few years ago? They had a good quarterback.
Yeah. And Alex Smith. Dan Orlovsky just tweeted, getting that number one seed is more important than somebody's full health. So maybe not buying in that Drew Brees is actually fully healthy to play. Coming up, we'll talk to Jesse Palmer from the Mothership.